Obviously, the Parsha Nasr is the longest Parsha that we have. But I decided to cut down to 8. You know, 10 has been a lot. I'm not sure if I'll keep to 8, more or less. We'll see how it goes. But maybe each week I'll do a number of them without sticking a number of how many Divrei Torah I come across. There's so much to choose from. It's endless. But let's begin with a very, very nice, beautiful Tver Shimshon of Shimshon Pinkus. And the Pasuk v'karbono karas kesef achas shloshim mamea mishkala mizrak echad kesef shivim shekel b'shekel kodesh. As we know, the Parsha goes on great length and detail and repetition of all the Nisim, all 12 Nisim's karbonos, which were exactly the same. Now, with regards to the Shneimasar Nisim, in Kasha mode, this is very challenging. Lama kafla Torah sipur karbon kol nasi v'nasi l'chud? Why does the Torah repeat the same story, the same words, the same sukkim for each karbon, for each nasi? V'kasu mefarshim sheba Torah l'lamdenu bazeh. They come to teach us, shekol echad hevi misorus atzmo. Some mefarshim explain that, to tell you that each nasi brought, not because his contemporary, because his colleague, the other Nasi, brought. He brought because he wanted to bring. Each Nasi wanted to bring on their own. And that's why they deserve, they earn their own partial. Others explain that even though each carbon was exactly the same, the kavana they had in mind was very different. Whatever that kavana was, the Shem Shemayim, the Riach Nichawach, the Parnas, for whatever the kavanas were, each one had their own different machshavos, and that's why they had to have their own parsha. Shimshon Pinkas himself wants to make his own suggestion. Venir lahosif alza, he wants to elaborate. Shebeemes hakaros hakapos, the cups and the spoons and plates, larak shekavana acharis ha'isa l'chalecha. Not only did each nasi have different intentions, elagam tzura acharis ha'isa l'hem, they actually look different physically. Sherei kol sheva nikar uma, each Sheva is called an Uma. He goes on to prove how this is the case. Goy v'kal goyim v'rom eich kol Uma hakelim shela heim b'tzuras echers. Each nation has their own type of keli, their own pots and pans. Uma shenikar b'derech mashal kara itza Uma zeh. That which is called a bowl to one guy, to one nation, lo kara lo yikra kara itza Uma zeh ela hagedera echers. It might be used as something different. So lo dugma, as an example, he says, Basin Ochlin Bitochat Salachas, the Asians use they eat from a bowl, Imakelas Aruchim Vidakin, they use sticks, they use the chopsticks to eat. Hasini Kore Lemekal Zemazik, that's called a fork. They call this a fork, that's a eating utensil. Ukshadim Uma Acheres, some other nation, someone foreigner comes to China, to Japan, Yikara Leze Makel Stam, they call it, it's a stick. And Hasini Yalev out Amko Nishmaso, V'chiza Gaza 8, this is not just a stick, this is a fork. And Mi'idach, from the other perspective, K'shasheni Marlo Kli Barzel Imarba Shinaim, when you show, American shows his fork, a fork made of metal with three or four little ends to it, prongs to it. So what's going to happen? He's going to show it to the Chinese, let's say, and they're going to see how he tells the guy, Harei Mazik, this is what a fork is. And who, Baz V'omer, the one from Asia, says, Atem Anashim Gasim Evasim Za'ocha, you guys are killing your chicken's already dead. Why are you killing it for a second time? What did the tarnagol do to you? So you keep poking it, it's already dead. Who's right? The Asians, the Americans, the Western culture, who's correct? Shame told can be both correct. Each one calls it according to their nature, according to where they were raised. Therefore, it doesn't have to say that they all brought plates. They all brought bowls. Because kimat nikra eta Ruvain kara lo nikra came blashon shel Shimon. What Ruvain calls a kara isn't called the kara. What Shimon calls a kara. Ubehechachatracha Torah lichto shkolecher hevi mashi etzlo nikra kara. And for that reason, each one had to bring at the right, specifically separately, each their own kara, because the karas were all very different. And that's, of course, an important lesson, that even though you have a certain perspective and different than someone else's, doesn't mean they are incorrect, and doesn't mean that you're incorrect. They're both correct. A person gets married, a person has friends, a person has chavrusas, in-laws, whatever types of two people, two families come together, there's always going to be differences in perspective of what type of food you eat, how you eat, different culture, but they're all correct and recognize people come from different places, and we have to respect everyone, just like the Nisim. Number two, the Taras Moshe of the Chassam Sofer, right? To Paras Rosh HaIsha, during the process of Sota, so they would expose her hair. He asked the question, Inei, Seyar Ba'isha Erva, Likros Kriyashma Kenegda. We know the halacha, the Gemara Brachos, tells us, is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to say Shema, to learn Torah, in front of a woman's, a married woman's hair, if it's uncovered. So, Eich Hizker Akoin Shema Kadosh Neged Saros Megulos. So if they're exposing their hair, how could they say Shem Hashem? There are a number of shvuas that are being said during this whole Seyda HaDevarim. How is it permitted? Isn't there an Isser of saying it b'makom erva? And don't tell me Eino Dome L'Mechikas Hashem L'Aso Shalom Bein Ish L'Isha. Well, we're willing to erase Hashem's name, so that's a very serious offense. So we should be able to say Hashem's name in front of a exposed hair. He says, no, because the Mechik Hashem Kizeo Me'ikir B'dikas Hasota, that's the essence of the whole mitzvah. The Torah tells us to do this, to raise Hashem's name. About Priyas Rosho, Eino Ma'akev Kol Kach Linin HaBedika. Exposing of her hair is not essential, it's not Ma'akev, it doesn't prevent the effect of the B'dika. So why do it if it's going to present itself in terms of an Isser? Ela Karachach Sezich Sam Sofer, we learn from here, If it's for the performance of a Hechsher Mitzvah, and the Priyas Rosh is a Hechsher Mitzvah, even though it's going to result in Hayamachanecha Kadosh, it's going to be in terms of issues of saying proper brachas, but if the exposure of the hair is because of Hechsher Mitzvah, so we're not concerned. And he says it's similar to the toface ba'arla, b'shash milo, and the mole holds on to the arlo, and he says the mila, isn't that makom erva? You can't say bracha makom erva. Einam akev l'haskar shem birchas mila, since it's a hechsher mitzvah, since it's a hider mitzvah to do such a thing, there is no violation. So there's more of a halachic devar Torah of understanding why the exposing the hair is not a violation of saying the bracha, saying the shem Hashem in front of it. Parim Yafos, the Sefer Afla, has a very nice just pashup shop in the Pesukim. The Pesukim say that Nasa Asirosh B'nei Gershon Gam Hem. That B'nei Gershon Gam Hem, they also would carry it. They would also go ahead and do the, they also have what? They also have the din of being, they have to be 30 years old before performing the Avoda. So what's Gam Hem telling us? So it says the Parim Yafos, Nira Hadak Siv Gam Hem Gavi B'nei Gershon, Mishim Dehavim Min, I would have thought, Dafka b'nei kahas shaya avodasin b'masei b'kasif. The b'nei kahas were the ones who were schlepping everything on their shoulders. That was very, very challenging. And they needed strength. They needed real strength to do so. And l'chach lohuchshur el bali koach. And therefore only people with koach, ki Moshe amru chazal meseches avos perkei, ben shloshim l'koach, when a person reaches the age of 30, he's strong. So maybe by b'nei kahas they required the age of 30. About B'nei Gershon, Shinasu, Ba'galos, that they would only schlep things through wagons. They pull wagons. You don't require that much strength. Maybe the age, if they get to a certain, they're young or they're too old, it shouldn't affect anything. It's just a little pulley here or there. So therefore, L'chach, Kasev, Gam, Heim, they also have the same restrictions, the same restrictions of Shanim as B'nei Kas. Now, V'chev, in the Chizav, Gavi, B'nei Gershon. Once we include B'nei Gershon, the same age restrictions, shuv ein tzarach lichtov gavi b'nei merari. You don't have to say b'nei merari had the same one because that was obvious. The b'nei merari ha'isa avodasan yoser b'chvedus, that they had a stronger, a harder type of avoda than that of b'nei gershon. So b'nei gershon are gamheim to the years, the age restrictions. So then certainly b'nei merari would be included as well. Ksav sofer number 4, I didn't write it on the page accidentally, but this is the ksav sofer. It's a very, very nice idea here in terms of understanding the Yetzer Hara. Ishki, sister, ishto, when a man makes his wife go through the Seder of Sota, Rashi comments that Ein Hamnafin, Menafin Ella, Imke Nichnas Behem Ruach Shus. An adulterer only does such a terrible thing if he has a Ruach Shus, some outside force, he's possessed by something from external sources, the demons. That's the only reason why a person would do such a terrible thing. Tzarech La'avin, we have to understand what's pshat here in this Rashi. Lama Kasav Ken Khan. Why does Rashi say why does he impose the idea of Ruach Shus Dafka in the case of Niyuf? Halo Amru Chazal, the Gemara in Tovda Daf Gimel tells us, Ein Adam Chote Elam Ken Nichnas Abba Ruach Shus. A person doesn't sin any avera, lav dafka niyuf, any avera, unless a person has ruach shus. Whenever you violate any avera, lashon hara, chil shabbos, whatever it is, it's based on ruach shus. How come Rashi only uses this language of ruach shus in the context of niyuf? Nearly the tzarech lahavin. We have to understand. Furthermore, halo ipcha, doesn't the opposite? Isn't it taught the opposite? The Gemara kedushin daf lamed ki kasha lichvash yetzara. A person has a very challenging time in overcoming his yetzer hara. Ki teva ha'adam lachto. The nature of man is to, we're human. The nature of man is to sin. We don't want to, but that's just our draw. That's what we're drawn to doing, and we have to overcome that. It's very kasha. The kvar herich ha'chovas ha'lavos ki adam alu l'chach machmas gufo offer min adama, because we come from the ground. The ground is very gashmis oriented. It's lazy. It's full of taiva. So how could, if it's based on the nature of the body, from the way we are internally, eich yomer alachote ki ruach shesu? How then does the Gemara say it comes from a ruach shes, some outside spirit? Is it internal or is it external? V'nir li kizeh ba'osin dvarim shuchal asosin beheter. Ruach shes is only applied when a person could go about it in a derech heter. U'mimalat havasa be'isr. But he decides to go b'derech iser. He has two options, mutter and aser. If a person decides to go the iser route, even though he could have chosen the heter route, that's called rachshus. Rakvar amru, chazal besof nedarim, b'maisa denor of mayim genufim yimtaku, that a person likes to taste sweet waters. What's sweet waters? That the stolen waters is very sweet to a person. That's the description of niyuf, of adultery. Shetariv yosir laveiro mi leheter. He'd rather go for naveiro, that forbidden fruits, than that which is mutter. Zev ade rachshus. That makes no sense. No human being, no sensible human being, no yirshamayim would do this. Only the ruach shtus, some outside demon, outside source and force, took hold of him. Vein tavi sateva bezer rak maase yitahara shrotz ladicha. Vein lecha shtus gadol mizeh. So when it comes to something that doesn't make any sense, you're going for the iser out when you could just as well go for a mutter out to be with one's wife. That's called ruach shtus. When it comes because there are no other options, the person just can't hold back his taiva. Chil Shabbos, or whatever it might be, that's where it's internal, because we come from Afar, we come from a body, that a dirt that has a draw, has an inclination towards doing that which is wrong. The Otis HaTorah has a beautiful pshat, amazing Musar with respect to how to deal with the Yetzer Hara. The Pasuk tells us the halachas of Nazir, and the Nazir parsha is next to the parsha of Sota, and Rashi tells us famously, based on the Gemara in Sota, Lama nismecha parsha Nazir la parsha Sota. Why are they juxtaposed to each other? Lomer lecha to tell you, shekola roa Sota bekukula, anyone who sees the Sota in this disgrace, her hair open, her clothing ripped, yazir atzma minayayin, he or she's going to separate from drinking wine, she may be lide niyuf, because wine leads to niyuf. This is a recommendation, this is advice the Torah gives you from all to all ages. Kasher roa adam sota b'kukula, when a person sees a sota in her terrible state, ma'isa mituav mishukats, disgusting, abominable, alav lefachid al atzmo, we have to start thinking about ourselves that we don't want to be in that same position. Gam im nimtza b'matzav shel tachlis harichak me'osa kilka, stay far, far away from ever getting to such a situation. We need to distance ourselves from drinking wine. What impact one event could have on all the spectators? There's more to discuss here. What does that mean? It doesn't say in terms of her steer, it doesn't say in terms of her death, rather her kilkula. She's embarrassed. She has to drink the water in front of everyone. Even though she's tahor, megalin rosha, we all expose her hair. Uparim bigda, we rip her clothing. So even though she may be innocent, that whole procession is going to impact all those who observe. Now, Hikshir Rav Shach, Rav Shach Zitzal asks a very basic question. That event, what the eye saw, that impact it has on the human body, will be enough for them to never drink wine. Kasher roes onsha chamra al sota, when they see what happens to her, the disgrace, the embarrassment, the punishment, kasher tovetas, and if she's guilty, and the stomach grows, and nofel sirecha, and her legs fall off, and her stomach explodes, haya dai bezazeah shekazeh, that trembling, that impact should be sufficient, limno milachato, to sin any further the rest of their life. Why do you have to take it to a step further to drink wine? They could drink wine all they want, nothing will happen, because they saw this sota, that image will be in their mind, nothing's going to allow them to get to that point. Chazal teaching us Shem Adam Einu Meisim Asmo B'Toch Maskeres Shel Siyagim. If a person doesn't place himself in a situation of the proper fences umishmeres and the proper guards, lo yo'ilu lo hisram shus ozazum, no type of dramatic punishment will impact the person. U'b'shah she'etchafu yitzer hara, when his yitzer hara is going to be so strong, lo yuchal amur b'nisan, he's not going to remember what happened at the sota case and then be drawn away. Hachinuch hayechidi, the singular lesson a person has to do. Hamo'al lo la'adam, that's going to help a person who hagadarim, shehu go there as asmo b'terem bo ha'nisan, to set up the proper measures to avoid ever getting to the point of leading to such a test. To not drink the wine. Drinking the wine, getting to that point with another person, I remember the case of Sota, that's not going to help. But for protect yourself by not having wine, make a gedda, make a siyag, make a mishmeres, that's a lesson. Yazir's atzmo min hayayin. A person can never trust himself entirely. When a person feels compelled, when a person feels motivated, he's inspired to do something, whether to do something good or not to do something bad, you should immediately put something in place to protect the person, to ensure that you continue doing what you should be doing. The Degun Machne 5 number 6 is a very nice pshat in understanding the bracha we say quite often, a birchas kvan. Yivrech Hashem Yishmerecha, Yareh Hashem Panav Elecha, V'yichuneka. The Kaddish Baruch Hu brings or to a person's face and V'yichuneka. So he asks a question, Tzarchel Havin, we have to understand. When a person, when a Kaddish Baruch Hu, rather, enlightens a person's face, isn't that what chen means? He's giving off this chen, this beauty, this or? So why does it say, and then yichuneka? That's what it means. It's the same thing. Kaddish writes, when it came to Yosef at Tzadik, that Kaddish Baruch Hu placed chen on Yosef's face in the eyes of the warden. When a person has chen, it's a chesed elyon, the kedusha elyona. You see a person with chen, you just sense something special about that person. You can't really, it's hard, chen's hard word to define. It has these panim that are so beautiful and cute and contagious. So, v'yesh mi she'eino yachol lahavin zeh, but there are those who just can't pick up on it. Sometimes it's so obvious to us, but some people just don't see it because they're lacking. Yeah, so ulakabel also, they can't accept it. Ki hu adraba hefech mizeh. Because when the person himself doesn't have chayin, it's hard for him to notice chayin in others. V'yalkein amar sham, v'yitin Hashem es chayino be'enei sar beis asor. He was giving a bracha that, of course, Yosef at Tzadik had chayin. But the bracha was, shehutrech HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishros al sar nal, to allow the warden to recognize the chayin, sheyuchal lakabel chayino she Yosef, to accept it, to receive it, ad kan, the lashon of Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Now looking back at our pshat in the pasuk, says the Degel Machne Ephraim, yesh lomar gam kan, kind of perish. That's the perish here. Shezel bracha achar, it's a different bracha. One is to yar Hashem panav elecha, to give a person chayin. But there's a second bracha, haynu sheyitin Hashem chayincha b'einei kol, that everyone else should be able to see it. That's v'yichu neka. Number 7, Darash Mordechai, Mordechai Druck, has a very, very important mussar also for every single person here. We all encounter different experiences that's going to be related. The pasuk in the Haftorah in Parsha Shoftim tells us, "Vayhi ish echad mitzara mimishpachas Adani," a man from Dan, ushma Manoach, his name was Manoach, v'ishto akara, his wife was barren, v'lo yalda, she wasn't able to give birth, v'yar malach Hashem al isha, v'yera malach Hashem al isha, and malach appeared to her, v'yom eile, he says to her, "Hinei na'at akara, you are the one who's barren, v'lo yalat, and you give birth, harisa yalta ben," and she then, from that point, was became pregnant, and had a child. So yesh ladaktik b'lashon apas, we have to understand here, l'shema mo'di Allah malach hinei na'at akara v'lo yalad ben. Why did he tell her that she was barren? Didn't she know she was barren already? Ma kadama hazu halo yuchal lomar lo hinei at yoled, let's just say that you're going to become pregnant or you are pregnant now. So Chida brings from a medrash that tells us, v'hi ish echad mitzara mishvach hazadani, and it goes on to explain, melamed shayah machlokes bein manoach l'isha, they had a fight. Hu omer la akarat, you're the one who having the problem. The problem is with you. You can't. It's your problem in your physical body. L'chach eini yoledes v'hi omer, but she said back to him, no, akarat, you're the akar. L'chach liyati v'lo haya manoach akar. So there's machlokus. Who was the problem? Was it him or was it her? Who was the cause of not being able to become pregnant? Oh, Shem, it says more there. Vayera Malach Hashem el Aisha mikan at lameit she'isho shemanoach tadekes ha'isa. The fact that Malach Hashem appeared to the wife, that she was a tadekes, shezochta l'daver ima Malach Hashem, u'lashim shalom beina levein bala, l'adiyah shehi al akara, hi maznas, monas mneheryon velo baila l'chach dibreimas. Firstly, that the Malach appeared to her. Number two is, the Malach wanted to create shalom and say that you're the one, not him, it's Amanoch's fault, this has been your fault to settle the matter. So the Chazal go on to say as follows. Then at the end of the day, when even though she was a greater tzaddikus and she was able to see the Malach Hashem, says Rav Druk that Nimna Mlegalos Ha'emes B'davar Shayamachlokis Beinim Klausman. She never went ahead and told Manoach, well, the Malach told them, her, who was the one Akara. Mi hu ha'ashem b'hadir ha'aryon. Who was the one holding back then becoming pregnant? Hala Malach amar lo b'feresh atakara, didn't the Malach already say? V'nitna la his damnus levarir lehodos al ha'emes, to tell her the truth. V'shim davar ra lo haya kara la, nothing will happen to her bad for saying this. Ke lo ha'viya ima esa b'suras ha'aryon b'shachus ha'chayim. And she has to admit too that she was wrong. It was her. She was the Akara. Mikol Makom, since we don't find anywhere that she admitted to her husband. Mikol Makom, Kashel Adam Lahodos Al Emes, Afilu Shud Tzadik V'Chashev. Even though she was a greater Tzadikas, she was a greater Tzadik than her husband Manoach, still, in the end of the day, people have a hard time admitting to their wrongdoing, saying they're sorry, the embarrassment. And the Sayon Ha'oda, the test of admitting to one's own mistakes, ala emes, eino nisam pashut kol ikar, is not a simple matter at all. Ki abusha hidavar nora v'mara mimavis. The embarrassment is an amazing, amazing thing, and in some respects, it could be worse than death. So it's not an easy thing, and this is not an excuse for us to never embarrass our wrongdoing, but at the same time, it's telling us that we should be able to overcome, and we should overcome this idea of admitting our mistakes, saying sorry for what we've done wrong. As he goes on to explain, it's not on the sheet here, that Moshe Rabbeinu admitted when he was wrong, and Yehuda admitted, to get to such a level. Number eight, the final one on today's shir, is from the Torah's Chida. The Chida. Chida says that it's describing, the Medrash describes us that the order of the Pesukim, mentioning Kohath and then Bnei Gershom, even though Gershon was the oldest of the sons, and the Torah in general always gives greater kavod to the Bechor, since Kas was holding the Aron, which encased the Torah, we put Kas first because the kavod of Torah is greater than the Bechor. Shebetchila Amar Nasas Rosh Bnei Kas v'Acharkach Nasas Rosh Bnei Gershom. Have Yikarhi Mipninim. The Medrash quotes a pasuk that Yikarhi Mipninim. It's more Yikara. Yakar is Lashon Hakavod. The Pninin, which is the Sefer Torah, that which is hidden in the Arum, is more Yakar than the Bechor. Mechor Shiatzer Rishon. Vein Pninim Ela Tchila Kamad Detaima Zos Lefnim B'Yisrael. Pninim means first, that which is more precious. The Kavod Torah goes Pninim, goes Lefnei, goes first. Kasev quotes from the Kli Yakar Hagufakasha. Lama lo maser Aron el bechor lechabdo b'yeshes eis v'az haTorah asher lo mishpat bechor. So why didn't the Torah set it up in such a way if Kas was the older one? So why not let him carry the Aron? This way he could have the bechor and the kavod haTorah. Why give the Aron to Gershon and then get to a whole conversation of the bechor versus kavod haTorah? Get to this whole debate who should be first? Kli Yakar tells me that the following. HaKarav Elai Racha Kadosh Baruch Hu Laharos Shekavod HaChachamin Chalad. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach a lesson that the Kavod HaTorah is greater. U'likra L'Kadosh Hashem Mechub L'Chabdo G'derech Shemana Kas Tchila Bavur Masa Devar Hashem Asher Ito. To tell us that Kas was listed first because he carved the Torah. V'ilai Anosin L'Gershon HaBachor HaAron. Had you given Gershon, who's the Bachor, had you given the honor of carrying the Torah, maybe the reason why Gershon was counted first, not because of the Kavod HaTorah, not because he carried the Aron, rather because he's the Bechor. We wouldn't have attributed the honor to that of carrying the Torah. The Torah wanted to teach us a lesson. Dafka, they gave it Tikahas to tell us that al kain masar nel kas umano tchila lodia lechaved Torah ulamdea an kandvarav, to teach us this yesod that the kavod Torah is greater than the kavod of the bechor. He goes on to explain, if you want to take a look inside halacha, this has ramifications as well. We see the uniqueness, the special kavod we give to the Torah. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.